and we say, Happy Feast of Unleavened Bread. Amen. 2001. No, it's not. It's 2010. You guys are awake. Okay. Okay, you guys are listening. That's good. Trumpeteer, let's have your horn. Great. Calling of the assembly. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, thank you for doing that. That was excellent. We did that the other night at the church that we taught at on the Sunday. And all the kids loved blowing the horn, of course. So, let me pop this out real quick. Okay, let me get on the mic. Okay. Thank God we could be here today. This is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And what we're going to do real quick, we just blew the trumpet. And now I got to figure, I got so many different things to touch here and to make sure I don't do it wrong. Let me try to arrow down. Let's ask the Lord to bless and anoint this Feast of Unleavened Bread. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, we thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord and God, for your mercy, your blood. Lord and God, you said the night that you betrayed, you took the cup, one cup, and you said, drink ye all of it. Yes, and this was the blood, your blood, of the New Testament. And I thank God that it's ever ready and it's ever available for anyone that would come to you for repentance and atonement. Bless and anoint, Lord and God, this feast of unleavened bread. Let us understand it more and more. Bless everyone that's here. Bless all the people around the world. Bless those that are not with us today that are keeping your holy day. We pray for healing. We pray for strength. Lord, we pray for joy on your feast. Impress upon us, Lord and God, these days are holy, and that with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm, you delivered us out of the bondage of Pharaoh, Satan, Lord and God. And we thank God for your deliverance and your salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Bless the reading. And let it be to the edifying of the body. That's all we need to do, Father, and to the glory of the living God. We give you the praise today, Yeshua, in your Father's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we are Kahal Echad B'Mashiach. That's Adat Yisrael. Today's study is not going to be long because we have a lot of things to do today and go over different PowerPoint things and eat unleavened bread. Did you eat unleavened bread yet? I did. Did you? Okay. Okay. Very good. And, you know, but anyway, today is actually the first day. And the first day, of course, is a Sabbath. Today is, I hate to say it, but it's April 1st. And you know what the world calls that, right? But we didn't get fooled because we know it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's right. They're fooled. Anyway, it's the 15th day of the first month of God, okay? And that's Ha'aviv or Nisan. And I'm so happy to be here today. And people that do it, people online around the world, I see you guys on Pal Talk. I'd like to say, let's say this prayer together because everyone's starting to say it, even people that don't believe in Yeshua. So I'd like to say this. Would you mind? Would you like to stand and say it? Okay. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, sins, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Amen. That's what Yeshua taught us to pray. And I like saying that because I found some Karaites are saying it now. And I have no idea why, because they don't believe in Yeshua. And Yeshua is the one that instructed us to say that. Now remember, there's two Sabbaths left after today that are not regular Sabbaths. Everyone got that? That's not the seventh-day Sabbath. Make sure you know that. So now we're on our way to First Fruits, which is going to be, of course, April 4th, okay? And, of course, it's Sunday. You know, that's the, we call it First Fruits or Resurrection Sunday or the Resurrection First Day of the week. We do not call it Easter. Okay, that's so annoying with Easter bunnies, and it takes away from the truth of God. And then after that, we're going to start counting the weeks. It says, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete, even unto the morrow after the... Excuse me? Okay. My mic is not working. Hold on a second. Let me just double check. All right, let's see. Can you hear me now? I'm plugged in. Everything's on. Everything's working. Let me read that again. Okay. Could everyone hear me? No sound. Okay. I'm going to have to read that verse again. I could see. Okay, let me stop this again.
Let's check.
Okay. This is...
Do it again.
Let me try it again real quick. Can you hear me now? You heard me a few minutes ago. I know that. Maybe the volume went down. Let's see. Nope. Can you hear me now? Testing, 1, 2. Okay. So no one could hear me, is that true? Okay. How about now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, very good. I just moved my computer. We have it's the internet connection here. Anyway, getting back to what I was saying, we're going to count, it says, Leviticus 23:15, you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. I noticed some people already gave us their offerings, and we do it too ourselves, but that's the day you're supposed to do it, but we use it for that day, okay? It says, even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath, you shall number 50 days. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto Jehovah. Okay? So we're going to be counting. We don't count the Omer like Judaism. We're counting the weeks. I don't know where they got the counting the Omer bit. We don't count Omers. Omer's a sheaf of barley. You know, we don't do that. We're counting the weeks. 7 weeks. Okay? That's another fallacy. And then, of course, on April 7th, which is Wednesday. Remember, it starts on the 6th, Tuesday night. It's going to be the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Everybody got that? That's on all day Wednesday, okay? And then, of course, you can see on the calendar here, the 2 months go by, and there's the dates for that, okay? Second month, Ziph. Third month, Sivan. And then, lo and behold, it's 50 days from First Fruits. And when Yeshua rose, 50 days from that day is Pentecost, or Feast of Weeks, when the Holy Spirit is given and the commandments are given on Mount Sinai, okay? So, and that day is a Sabbath. There's 2 Sabbaths in a row there, okay? That's important. That, in other words, the weekly Sabbath and then, of course, Sunday is a Sabbath. Okay, everyone should know that by now. Today's topic is very, very short, but because it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, I thought I'd talk a little bit about leaven. So I was reading this morning and I got this message in my brain that said, get the old leaven out, and it's out of your hearts and out of your lives. And I mean, just like the apostles and Yeshua, I mean false doctrines, hypocrisy, malice, and wickedness. That's really important. Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, therefore let us keep the feast. Even though I read this morning some commentators from the past telling you don't have to keep the feast. Paul said, keep the feast. That's what he said. Not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And that's what we do. We do everything in sincerity and truth and know what we're doing. Okay? That's very important. So beware of leaven, which is false doctrine, hypocrisy. And obviously that comes from false pastors, false teachers, false made-up rabbis. There's no rabbis except the Messiah, okay? And they abound. As you guys know, they're abound everywhere, right? Okay. So, can everyone still hear me? I hope you can, okay. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, Yeshua said unto them, "Take heed of the leaven, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Did you hear that? So even though we're doing the unleavened bread, we're also going to beware of false doctrines, which is leaven. Leaven is sin. It's very bad. And they reason among themselves, saying, "Is it because we have taken no bread?" See, some people can't see the spiritual. They're looking at the physical. Which when Yeshua perceived, he said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why reason among yourselves because ye have no bread?" It says, "Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000, and the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake unto you not concerning bread, but that you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Everybody understand that? I hope. It's pretty simple. Then understood how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And that's what we got to beware of, doctrines that are false. They're floating around everywhere. Many verses in the Bible about that. I didn't put them all down today because we got a lot of things we'll probably be doing today and going over slides and PowerPoint things and everything. In Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 11 says, "The Pharisees came forth, began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven. They were tempting him." That's just like them. It's almost like their job, you know. "And he sighed deeply in spirit." He was very upset. "And he said, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And of course, the disciples, I mean, sometimes they're just not in tune with what he's saying. "And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." What was the leaven he said a few minutes ago? Doctrine. Doctrine, yeah. "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread?" And Yeshua... It says, "And when Yeshua knew it, he said unto them, why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive you not yet, neither understand? Have you your heart yet hardened?" I'm trying to change the old English, but I'm trying to say it in our way we talk. "Having eyes, you don't see? And having ears, you don't hear? Do you not understand? Or do you not remember what I'm saying to you? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. Those are big time miracles right there. And he said unto them, how is it that you did not understand then? What's up? I mean, he's trying to tell them in a nice way, beware of the leaven. Leaven is sin, and leaven is hypocrisy, malice, wickedness, you know. In Luke, here it is right here. Look at Luke. He makes it very clear. "In the meantime, when there was gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, the first thing I want you to know, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," which is what?
Hypocrisy.
Yeah. You notice how Yeshua always aimed at the leaders. He always aimed at the religious leaders of the time, because those are the ones that are deceiving everybody. They act like they know so much, and they got the robes and the beards and the books. Boy, they look really like, you know, they know it all. They look really holy, don't they? Some of them got that little collar. Yeshua and his disciples kept the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I mean, I could see that very clearly right here. I mean, Matthew, "Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread It says, now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Yeshua, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare to eat the Passover? So here's unleavened bread, there's the Passover, and it sounds a little different there, but I'm just bringing up the point that they did it. So again, my teachings are always, if Jesus is doing it, the disciples are doing it, and Apostle Paul, why shouldn't we do it? Same thing right there in Mark 14:1. There it is, the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread is mentioned in verse 1. And then in verse 12, okay? I'm just bringing up these verses to you so you can see them. I'm not going to read them all to you today. Luke 22:1, there it is, the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. They called the whole thing the Passover. You know, that's what they used to do. Pesach, yes. Yeah, we read the other day that, what, the word Passover wasn't created until what? Until about 1400 or 1500s, right? Yeah, Tyndale. That's the word Passover. So it's always Pesach. So here it is again, Luke 22, verse 7. Unleavened bread, Passover, okay? Paul right there in Acts chapter 20, well after the resurrection of the Messiah, he sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. So, I mean, he was there. So, it's and that, there was people with him, says, we sailed. So, they were doing the Passover and unleavened bread even in the book of Acts chapter 20. That's well after Yeshua probably is dead, probably. You know, we were talking this morning, my wife and I, we were saying, why? Some people say, why are you guys doing this? It's already happened. And, you know, what are we doing it? So my answer, of course, is always, we do it in memorial because it's something that was in the Bible. But my question would really be, I mean, you guys do this, let's make believe for a second, Jesus was born on Christmas. Of course, he wasn't, and there's no December 25th. You should ask them, why are you doing that every year? He already did it. Once. He already did it. It's already happened. And also with the stupid fake Easter bunny nonsense. Why are you doing that every year? It's already happened. I mean, the Bible says, answer a fool according to their folly, lest they're wise in their own conceit. You know, that's what you got to do. You answer them according to the way they talk to you. Say, why are you doing your little pagan things? It's already happened, even though we don't believe it. But, you know, if we're going to talk like you, it's already happened. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a good way of making them understand. What we're doing is actually in the Bible, and we do it in memorial, a zikaron, in remembrance. Now, the word hypocrisy is very, very treacherous, I want to say. Look what it says right here in Isaiah 32. The vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against Jehovah. And to make empty the soul of the hungry. Wow. And he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. That's these people that have this hypocrisy. That's what they're basically doing. Every one of those little words I just read to you, you could probably ponder for a while. A soul that's hungering for truth and God, you fill them with hypocrisy and you leave them hungry. And you're just talking errors against Jehovah. You know? It's very sad. Like a lot of people, you know, the people that everyone thinks is nice, they're really wicked, believe it or not, are not in God's eyes. Isn't that weird? People you might think is nice, they're actually dead spiritually. It's like looking at a dead person walking around. I always pray that, you know, they find out before it's too late. There's that word right there. It's a chonuf. Okay? Chonuf. And it's moral filth, that is wickedness, hypocrisy, godlessness, hypocrite, profaneness, soiled, that is with sin, impious, and godless. That's what that word hypocrisy is. It means a lot. Some people knowingly are doing that, deceiving you. Some people are deceived themselves, and they don't even know what they're doing. So there's two people. You know, you understand that? Excuse me. Matthew 23, I'm not going to read all this to you because, like I said, today's going to be a short study. But if you get a chance, maybe I should read it. Okay. It's only what?
24 after.
It's only 24 after, okay. Then spake Yeshua to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, this is Matthew 23, if you want to read online here or look at your Bible, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. That's pretty pompous of them. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. That's only if, of course, they're reading out of the Torah and the commandments. But, there's that little word, but. But they do not, it says, but don't do after their works. For they say, and they do not. What do you think of that? That's called a hypocrite. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men. I know that for a fact. They make broad their phylacteries, you know, and they enlarge the borders of their garments. You know, they put all this stuff all over them to look so holy. Pastors today, boy, they got custom suits. One guy said, man, I get custom suits. And, you know, anyway, and they just love the utmost rooms at the feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. They love that. They come sit right up front. Humble people sit in the back. And then they might be called up front. And they love greetings in the markets. Listen to this. These people, they love to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. They want to be your master. Look what Yeshua says. All these messianic rabbis, shame on you. And all these rabbis in Judaism. Yeshua says, be not called Rabbi. One is your master, even Messiah. And all of you are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth. That means holy father. For one is your Father, which is in heaven. This is talking spiritually. It's not talking about your dad. Then he says, neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Messiah. The word rabbi means master. It doesn't mean teacher. A teacher is more, and mora is feminine. But no one's your master. But yet, you can go on a lot of messianic websites. They're messianic rabbis. And then they try to tell you it means teacher. It does not. It means rabbi, right? I mean, it means a master right there. And many other places in the Bible. It says, but he that's greatest among you should be your servant. If you want to be the greatest one, then you should be a servant of all. And whosoever shall exalt himself, what happens? He's going to be abased. And he that humbled himself shall be exalted. And now I want you to count these, okay? Count these woes. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Well, that's not nice. I can almost hear people saying that today. That's not nice. Calling them names? What are you doing? Don't judge me, brother. They're not my brother. It says, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Yeah. That was one, right? Don't forget to count these. Two. This is Yeshua. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense, you devour widows' houses. That's right. You're a widow. She's saying shame on them. And for a pretense, they make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. They make these long prayers, and it's just fake. Okay, that was how many? Two? Three. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And a lot of the missionaries do this, too. Think about this. You compass sea and land to make one proselyte, one convert. And when he's made, you're actually teaching them false doctrine. You make them twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. All these people going to other countries with their false doctrine. Oh, I can't wait to go. They always want to go to these other countries and spread their false doctrine. Make sure you know who you're giving to. That's important. Okay, how many woes is this?
That was three.
Okay, here's another one. Woe unto you, you blind guides. which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it's nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is debtor. They're looking at the gold. Look what Yeshua calls them, you fools and blind. Whether is greater, the gold or the temple which sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Yes. And Yeshua says, you fools and blind. Whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. But whoso sweareth by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. Praise the Lord. If it's getting too cold in here, let us know. Okay? See somebody over there? It says, and he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Don't swear by, man, I don't want to do that. Did you hear that one? If you swear by heaven, you're swearing by the throne of God and by him that sits on the throne. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. See, if Yeshua was around today, he'd be going, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, pastors, Protestant pastors, Catholic priests, and all the rest of those monks and all kinds of characters, rabbis, woe unto you, hypocrites. Uh-oh, is that hate crime? That's a hate crime Jesus is doing. Jesus is going to get arrested. For you pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. That's what they do. They tithe all these things that look so like the delicacies, you know. They bring all kinds of little goofy things that look, oh, they're so delicate. But they've omitted the weightier matters of the Torah, judgment and mercy and faith. These ought you have done and not to leave the other undone. I lost track of the count, but you blind guides, you strained a gnat, and you swallow a camel. What were we talking about last night? Somebody did that? They strained at a gnat, but they swallowed a camel. Can't remember. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. That's why sometimes you got to look beneath. You got to look a little under the surface to get the truth. And then Yeshua says, thou blind Pharisee. Could you imagine? Pharisee guy is a big time religious leader we're talking. This isn't just, I don't know if you realize that. Yeshua says to him, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. He's talking about spiritually, of course. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are like unto whited sepulchres. You know what that means? Like a tomb that looks so beautiful. Which indeed appear beautiful outward. See, in Israel, they bury everyone above ground. So some of these tombs look beautiful, you know. Which indeed they appear beautiful outward, but are within they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. In other words, you can't like judge a book by its cover. Remember that? That's a saying somebody made up, but this is what Yeshua is saying. Don't, when you see somebody all dolled up and beautiful, make sure you see what's inside of them too. Because the one that comes in maybe that doesn't have enough money, they might be the ones that are pure inside. You know what I mean? So Bible says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That's what you're supposed to do. It says, even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. Imagine him, he's telling this to the Pharisees. But within, you Pharisees are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. I mean, they're like the big leaders of the temple there, Sanhedrin. Woe, how many woes? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, If it had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Guilty. Wherefore, they're this witnessed against themselves. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers. Yeah. They're just like their fathers. Look at this. You serpents. You generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Woo, Jesus. Arrest him. That's too cruel. I mean, I can't even say it like him right now because I'm not all wound up. And he was wound up and he's firing at them because they elected themselves to be the big leaders and they're deceiving the masses. And they say a lot, but they don't do it themselves. Wherefore, Yeshua says, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you're going to kill and crucify. Some of them you're going to scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. And then Yeshua goes, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, you stone them which are sent unto you. I sent you prophets and you stone them. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. You couldn't even, you didn't have eyes or ears to hear. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of Jehovah. Amen, the Lord. Yes, that's very important. So one day, maybe one day, some people will say that. So now you're getting the idea of what leaven is? That's the reason why we went wild getting the leaven out. Remember that the other day? Took all that leaven out on the first day, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We made sure the leaven's out of our house. Sin is out of our life. Wickedness is out of our life. You know, I want to ask you guys a question. I had a question. My wife and I was talking this morning. In the Bible, when Paul kicked people out of the church or people left the congregation, did other people go talk to them? Other people that were in the congregation, did they go talk to them? I doubt it. Huh? I doubt that. Yeah, I doubt that. No, I'm just curious. You know why? Because it's almost like where there's sin and it's camouflaged, leaven is everywhere. I could see it like pouring over, you know, when you basically you do something like that, going behind the congregation and talk to other, you know, people that have sinned, and basically it puts a frown on the congregation, and like you're the only one that could talk to them. You follow what I mean? That's not the way it's supposed to be. Do you understand that? Or is that too complicated? A little leaven. That's leaven. What I mean is everyone, like if anyone wants to talk to me, I'm always available. I always talk to everyone. I want anyone that has ever left us, I wish they would call us. I wish they would give me a call. I would talk to them. We don't hold grudges and we don't hold anything against anyone. And that's why we make sure there's no leaven in our hearts and no leaven in our lives. That's why we're unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Did I just say something over your heads? You look, the looks on your face is... Okay. Yeah, I can't imagine Paul kicked out those guys that they're, you know, he delivered them unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. I can't imagine people that were with Paul going behind Paul's back and going to talk to them. Talking to them like, you know, everything's okay, I'm going to pray for you. You know, when they never made peace with anyone yet. You understand that? If you can't understand, we'll talk about that later. Okay, Mark 12. That subject was a little hard. Sorry, I'm choking today because I'm not exactly in perfect. You have a cold. So I feel like I'm every once in a while I keep choking. Mark 12 says, "And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words." Some people try to catch me in my words. And they can't wait to say I said something wrong, even though I might have said something, they took me wrong, or it was out of context or something. And sometimes if I say something wrong, doesn't mean I'm doing it on purpose. Maybe I quoted something wrong. There has been times when I said a verse was in the wrong verse in a different book. That's only because I'm human. I made a mistake. It's not intentional, I'm trying to trick you. But these guys actually came to catch him, Yeshua, in his words. "And when they were come, they said unto him, Master," see, they puff him up a little bit, "Master, we know that you're true. Oh, we love you. We just love you. Carest not, you don't even care for men. For thou regardest not the person of men, and teachest the way of God in truth." Oh, we just think you're the greatest, Yeshua. "Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" There's their little trick question. But check this out, Yeshua. They said, "Shall we give or shall we not give?" But Yeshua, look what he says right immediately. He knows their hypocrisy. Remember I read you what hypocrisy was? He says unto them, "Why tempt ye me? Why tempt you me? Bring me a penny that I may see it." And they brought it and said unto him, he said unto them, "Whose image and superscription? Whose is this image and superscription?" They said unto him, "Caesar's." And Yeshua answered and said unto them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." They mean nothing. "And to God," make sure you render to God the things that are God's. And they marveled. Then came and if that wasn't enough, then all of a sudden these Sadducees show up. And this is a little sect of Judaism that never came back into circulation today. These guys used to just believe that there was no resurrection, no spirits, and no angels. But they come to Yeshua, and that's obviously hypocrisy and false doctrine. And they asked him, saying, "Master," which is Rabbi, "Moses wrote us." See, they're trying to catch him. "Moses wrote us, if a man die and leave his wife behind him and have no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother." Now there were seven brethren. The first took a wife, and dying left no seed. The second took her, died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. They're trying to catch Yeshua because they don't believe in the resurrection. So they said, in the resurrection, which we don't believe, you know. "Therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife is she going to be? For the seven had her to be their wife." Yeshua answered and said unto them, listen what he says to them. A big rebuke right here. He goes, "You do therefore error. You have the spirit of error. Because you don't even know the scriptures. You never read them. You don't even know the power of God." Man, he didn't like cut anyone any, these guys, because these guys are all the leaders, you know. It says, "For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage." Just think, my wife I'm married to, but in the resurrection, I'll probably just see her and go, "Hey, I knew you." I don't know. "For when they shall rise, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels that are in heaven." I'm going to be like the angels. You know what that means? Immortal. "And as touching the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush Jehovah God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob." He's not the God of the dead. but the God of the living. You therefore do greatly err. They're alive right now. Even though their bodies were dead, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. And that's such a spiritual thing. I'm not going to get into all that. But this little, that's the end of the study. I know that's shocking, isn't it? Boy, is that short. That's not like me. Well, we got a lot of things to do today on unleavened bread. And I just wanted to make sure you guys knew about this leaven, what Yeshua calls it. False doctrine, hypocrisy, malice. Paul says it's malice and wickedness. That's what leaven is. And we want to get that all out of our lives. We want to be sincere. We don't want to be sincerely wrong. We want to be sincerely right. And we want truth, of course, sincerity and truth. Anyway, I thank God for this study today. It's just a quick one. If anyone has anything you'd like to say, I'm going to stop this recording here. And if you have anything you'd like to say, come up to the mic. God bless you. May the Lord bless the rest of your feast of unleavened bread today, your Sabbath. Bless the food and bless you in Yeshua's name. So come up to the mic if you want to talk about leaven, unleavened bread, or whatever. God bless you and shalom from one of Messiah. Let us know about your Passover. How was it? God bless you. We're at the congregation today. If you want to talk to us, we'll be here for a long time. We're at 615-333-7373, okay? Call me anytime. Anyway, God bless you. Shalom.